I would like first to read a short testimony from an email I received on November 2nd, just a couple days ago, from Pastor Charlie Mwanga from Nantes, France, or they pronounce it Nantes, where I preached last year from August 9th through 11th, and had prayer for the sick and those with needs. Brother Charlie traveled over to France this year when I spoke the dedication of Brother Cervantes' church, and he just got this information himself, so apparently... Anyway, this is November 2nd, 2:57 p.m. He says, Brother Brian, do you remember the couple who came to church and had a problem conceiving a child, and you prayed for them? I see that the sister has just given birth to a baby boy today. That's very good news. We bless the Lord, Brother Charlie. Now, I'd just like to add that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is still answering our prayers as Jesus promised that he would do in John 15:7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let me just center this a little bit better. Now this morning I'd like to speak on the subject, perfect faith by a perfect word. And we'll take for our text from the following three scriptures. In Psalm 18:30, after God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and he is a buckler, a shield or a defense to all those who trust him. Again, we see the same scripture spoken of in 2 Samuel 22:31. After God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, a shield, a defense to all those that trust in him. Notice, God, his way is perfect. And then he says his word. It's his word. All right. And then let's turn to the New Testament, 1 John 2:25, and read what God wants for us to come to in this hour. Where he says, but whosoever keepeth his word, that's God's word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he, that's Christ, walked. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving Father, we have read in your word that we are perfected by the blood of your Son, Jesus, and our perfection and completion as sons and daughters, the perfection of our character can only come by abiding in your perfect word, as Jesus himself was perfected in his character through his obedience to your word. For your scripture tells us, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. And your Bible tells us, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So, Father, your Son Jesus commanded us, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And we know that you are the Word, for in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And your Son Jesus said in his prayer to you in John 17, that it is through your Word and your doxa, your opinions, values, and judgments, that we are to become one with you. And therefore, if we are to become perfected in our character and made ready for the rapture, it can only come by our abiding in your perfect Word. For Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Help us, Father, this morning to make another step toward that perfect perfection that you seek in us by receiving your perfect word, for we ask it humbly in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to examine this thought that perfect faith can only come through a perfect word. That's God's perfect word. And we find Brother Branham saying, just those words that we read from his sermon, Perfect Faith, where Brother Branham said, when Satan tempts us, we are to resist him in a perfect faith, in a perfect word, like Jesus did. The word of God is perfect. We're to have perfect faith in this perfect word and resist Satan. Now we'll hurry just as quick as we can, but by faith in his word, we can conquer anything, both death, hell, and the grave. We know that God is God, that perfect faith is God's perfect word. perfect faith in God's perfect word. He conquered everything that he come in contact with. Death could not even stand in his presence. Sickness could not even stand in his presence. Flowing from him was like rivers of virtue going out constantly, virtue going from his garment. These people laid in the shadows, just put their finger on his garment and was healed. When that woman done that, then everybody wanted to touch his garment because they seen that there was virtue going from him constantly, flowing like rivers. There he was walking in a world of perfect faith because he was the Word. And now if you abide in me, now we're reading what Jesus said, through him he brought you the Word, and my words abide in you, then walk in the same kind of way, virtues flowing from you. The rivers of God's fountain of blessing just flowing out to the people. See what I mean? And you're not bluffing it. You're not imagining it. It's actually taking place and you see it. If you're just imagining it, that don't do any good. But if it's really there, it really happened. And that email that I just read to you is not just somebody's imagination. It's real. The Holy Spirit is real. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It matters not what the vessel is that lays hands on the sick. The Bible says if you're a believer and you lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. I've seen a 3-year-old daughter healed when a 4-year-old daughter laid hands on that child. So it doesn't make you a big person when you lay hands on the person. It makes you an obedient son and daughter of God. Again, Brother Brown said in perfect faith, paragraph 65, he said, now, let's see. Has he done all things well? Has he ever told us anything but what happened just exactly the way that he said it would? Hasn't he performed? And hasn't the great pillar of fire been among us and done just exactly like he promised to do? Haven't we seen it? Hasn't science taken it? Having been predicted that would happen? Go right there and happen even in the papers and magazines. Pack it right back and show it when it's told you months before it happened. Hasn't he done just exactly the way that he did in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and it's just exactly the same one? The Holy Spirit comes as a discerner, and the Word of God, which is quicker and sharper than any two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, isn't that right? Isn't that the same God? And that same one is not a stranger off somewhere else. He's here. He does this to create a perfect faith. I feel him, and I know he's here. I know that his Spirit is here. I know that he knows all things. Amen. And I know he wants to do something. He's been doing something to create this perfection of faith in the people. So perfect faith, brothers and sisters, is not something you're going to work yourself into. It's something God is already doing. He has a perfect faith. And he is the Word. And he is imparting that life, that perfect faith, to his children. Notice, he's here. He does this to create a perfect faith. To create this perfection of faith in the people. And do we now limit God to 50 or 60 years ago? And to say, well, God cannot show us that he is still the same yesterday, today, forever because, well, you know, we don't see him. Well, let me tell you, Brother Branham, prophet vindicated by God, said the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. He's still leading. Because his prophet's gone off the scene, does that mean that God himself has gone off the scene? Absolutely not. John the apostle, John the prophet, he said, I must decrease that he might increase. Are we so limiting our God that he must only work his signs and wonders through his prophets? Or do we believe that he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Brother Branham said in his sermon, Perfect Faith, paragraph 45, he said, and so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith, he is isolated from the world, the entire world, and becomes a new creature in Christ. There now, you're getting into bride material. You see, you're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor or deacons or trustees, that means for the laity, every individual walks in the world with God alone. You're baptized into his kingdom, and there's nobody in there but you and God. See, he gives the orders, and you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow of doubt nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith, perfect perfection that cannot fail, that faith that never fails. Yes, he was a mystic to them with his perfect faith. And so it is now with those who have perfect faith are a mystic to others. It seems today when a man of God talks about the working of the Holy Spirit and has the signs and wonders following his ministry, people want to say, well, he's talking about himself. And to me, that's just petty jealousy and shows that those who say those kind of things have no clue what we've just read concerning perfect faith that the prophet of God just said. He said, when you have perfect faith, it is because you have trust in God, in God's perfect word. And when God speaks to you, you step into it and do what he tells you because you have perfect faith in his perfect word. Then you see the word become flesh because you are that flesh of his word. And you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and he is the word. And when people just look back and say, well, we had a prophet and that's all there is to it, they're really missing out on the fulfillment of God in their own life. If they haven't learned to die to self and let Christ live in them until they live like Christ and talk like Christ and act like Christ and do the same works that Christ did, then they haven't got Christ's life. They just got a historical God and a historical message and a historical prophet and not a living God that they claim to be following. Again, from his sermon, Perfect Faith, paragraph 30, Brother Branham said, now the identification of a scriptural Christian, now these words said Jesus, these signs shall follow them that believe. So Brother Branham is telling us the signs or the identification that you are a scriptural Christian, he says, is the scripture, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, how can you call yourself a believer, a people, and deny those words? How can you call yourself a believer and deny any of this word? See, you can't do it. You're not a believer, therefore signs can't follow you. Because you just accept what you want to believe and let the rest of it that you don't believe it, but you've got to take the whole thing and believe it. And when you truly believe, not make believe, but really believe, then these signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, could you compare a Christian today with them Christians of long ago? How the disciples walked in the power of the Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost, to go just a prisoner? As I preached on the other night, a prisoner to the Word and will of God. He couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? It's going to. It's going back. Yes, sir, it's got to come. That's right, it's got to. It's on its road now. And I believe. So what is this third pole all about? Because Brother Ram is talking about this. It's about speaking life, right? The fish, it had died. And God's prophet said, I spoke to it and it came alive again. And what about the squirrels? They were there in his own mind. And he spoke them and God created them. And not only that, but God gave them life. And what about Hattie Wright's boys? Snickering and laughing behind the prophet's back one minute. And the next falling across her lap. God gave those undeserving boys life. Why? Because of a perfect faith by a perfect word. Whose faith? The prophet's faith? No. It was Sister Hattie Wright's faith in a perfect word given by God's prophet. Then what about those people in France who could not have a child? Was it my faith? Did I have power to give them a child who could have no child? No. I didn't have any power. He has the power. But he said, ask and you will receive. And I will do it. I'm just their brother, but they had a perfect faith in a perfect God that heard my prayer. But it was their faith in a perfect word that conceived the child. Never get your eyes on the vessel, because vessels can fail. But get your eyes on the promise, which is the perfect word from a perfect God who came down in this hour. And Brother Brown said concerning this perfect faith, in a sermon called A Perfect Faith, again, paragraph 78, he said, this is coming into the third pole, and I'm believing it. And I want to ask you a sincere question, you that pass through the prayer line, can you actually believe and feel now that there's something happening in you since you've had hands laid on you? Raise your hands. Well, there it is. This is what we waited for. Now, this is just starting to bloom now. See, just started to bloom. I did this for a purpose. I did this for a purpose. I'm working out something. It's taking this charge of faith and going right back and begin to come in, see, to kind of raise faith in a bracket to where you've never noticed it that way before. Now, not a faith, but a perfect faith. Built it up in here and watch a perfect God with a perfect heart keep a perfect promise by his perfect word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword and discerner of the thoughts of the heart. Now what? We're coming now to the perfection. Because the people have to come to this in order for the rapture. That's what's holding it away right now, is waiting for that church to come into that perfect raptured faith. I'm looking for it, and it means a lot of shaking down for me. It means a lot of shaking down for you. But together we'll make it by the grace of God. Amen. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. Lord Jesus, grant some of the friends of God, may your Holy Ghost ever make this pastor well and keep him. Keep him healthy and strong for the service that you've called him to. In Jesus' name, I'm claiming it, Lord. I love you. Now, another pastor wrote to me, whom I had not heard for many years. He was from Africa, and he told me that there was a couple in his church who tried for 8 years to have a child and could not. And after I prayed for this couple, they now have 4 children. He then went on to say, one brother was healed from heart trouble. Many others were healed from different kinds of sicknesses. One sister was prayed for when her little girl, aged 3 years old, got lost for 12 years without seeing her. But after she was prayed for in the prayer line, her little girl was found and is back home, and many other testimonies. Now, who was it that told Samuel where Saul's horse could be found? Or who was it that told Brother Branham where Brother Bud Southwick's brother-in-law's horses could be found? It is the same God who brought that lost child back home to her parents. And if you don't believe that God still answers prayer, then ask Brother Branham said, God knows how many fleas it takes to make a pound of tallow and how many times those fleas would bat their eyes, because he's God. God is sovereign. He knows everything. He knows where anything that you lost your keys, he knows where they're at. Just ask him. He'll guide you there. You know, people say, well, I don't want to bother him. Bother him. He wants to be bothered. Jesus didn't heal all those people for 3.5 years, constantly healing, 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 to put on a show. He did it because of his own compassion. And God has compassion, and when you refuse his compassion by not going to him when you have need, you say, well, I don't need you. I can work things out myself. He promised us in John 15:7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, then ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now remember, we just read to you where Brother Branham had said, that means for each one of us. Not just the pastor, deacons, or trustees. That means for the laity, every individual walks in a world with God alone. You're baptized into this kingdom, and there's nobody in there but you and God. See, he gives the orders, and you pack them out. I'm just waiting to hear from you, brothers and sisters, that you're also seeing Jesus Christ alive in your lives as well. And that you're seeing his presence working the works of Christ through you, as he promised that he would do. Again, from his sermon, Perfect Faith, paragraph 66, Brother Branham said, are we going to walk into eternity like this, as it was in the days of Noah, with 8 souls saved? Are we going to come like Lot, with 3 out of Sodom? Are we going to come like in the days of John the Baptist, with 6 believers? Let us believe, for his works is perfect. They're manifested daily and perfected before us, showing that he is the Word. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, says, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now think of that. The Word of God is that. A discerner of the intents of the heart, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word made flesh, hallelujah. The Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly, to bring you a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. So it's evident that this perfect gift, given by a perfect God with a perfect promise, by his perfect word, that we have seen and partaken of in this day, will by a perfect word of God bring us to a perfection and ready for the rapture. It's not something you can do, brother, sister. It's already in the process. He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. But it's not just answered prayer that reflects our perfect faith in his perfect word. It is our very commitment to that word that shows our perfect faith in that perfect word. In paragraph 54 of the same sermon, Perfect Faith, Brother Branham said, now watch, perfect faith is pure, just as pure as love is. See? Now when you love somebody and you love your husband or you love your wife, Now, there's no need of anybody telling you you don't do it, because you do do it, and you know you do it. Now, if I'd ask you, how can you prove that you do it? Oh, I prove it by the way that I live to him. See, I'm a true, honest wife. I'm a loyal, honest husband. And that proves to me that I love my wife, or I love my husband. See, your life proves what you are, and it's the same thing Christianity does. See, your faith, you have confidence in one another, it's pure, and there's something real that you can't show, that you can't show it to somebody else, yet you've got it, and your actions prove it. Again, in perfect faith, paragraph 49, Brother Branham said, now notice, perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. Now, just watch. When you believe anything, do anything, and you got faith in what you're doing, no matter what the circumstances is, that don't have one thing to do with it. See, it masters that circumstances. If it's in a room of sickness and the Lord revealed that there's certain things going to happen, just speak it and go on. Oh, does it? Just don't ask any questions. It's already over. Just keep going. See, it masters all circumstances. Well, if you do this, or so-and-so is going to do this, or see, it's already got it mastered. See, faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he will do it anyhow. See, it masters all circumstances, and faith and love is relations, because you can't have faith unless you've got love. Because your faith is in a God who is the very essence of love. Faith and love works together. And if you wish to study that out, we've already preached in that faith series number 37, Perfect Faith by a Perfect Love. Again, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Perfect Faith, paragraph 47, he said, now what Satan says, that don't have nothing to do with it. He goes right on just the same. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. You know, in the Bible, it's always constantly saying, to him that has faith, to he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. See, he that has wisdom, let him count the number of the beast and all these different things. He that has, let him tell it to the rest of them that they might have it. And that's by faith we're talking about now. Faith that you've got to have, that's perfect faith, that faith that says yes. There is nothing can say no when God says yes. See, when he says yes, it's yes. Nothing else can ever take it from you. So Brother Brown is saying, look, if you've got that perfect faith, if you've got that faith yourself, then you want to get that faith into your children, into your spouse, into any and all that you love. You know, you sisters, Brother Brown says that you're ordained to be the preacher of your children. You have a ministry to your children. Doesn't matter if they've left home. You still have that ministry to your children. All right? Doesn't matter if they're 30, 40 years old. You still have that ministry to your children. And you're to reflect that. You know, I always tried to instill in my children. When I would see, Brother Brown would paint that story about the Exodus. And the death angel was coming through and there was just chaos everywhere. And they'd hear the crying in the streets and everything else. And he said that little child would tug at his daddy's tunic and say, Daddy, are you sure the blood is applied? You've got to create in your children's minds first and in their hearts an awareness of the conditions of the hour. Too many parents are just, they don't talk to their children. They let the children go away, go do this or that. You know, they let the kids go their own way. They don't get involved with their children, but you're their parents. You need to talk to your children. And when things come up and the insanity comes up, talk about it and let them know it was prophesied it's going to be this way. And every time you see these things happen out there, which are totally insane, you remind them a vindicated prophet of God said it's going to be this way. But this isn't for you. No. We have a promise of a rapture. We have a promise that God is going to take us out of here before it gets too bad. I just can't understand how anyone could read this Bible, God's precious word, and listen to the voice of God to our day, and then have any doubts left in their mind because God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. From Perfect Faith, paragraph 44, Brother Brown said, but Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in a perfect God, in which he says, if we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, We'd be a mystic to the world. The people wouldn't understand you. You'd walk in the Spirit. What the Spirit said you would do. What it forbid you would not do. Then the people begin to say, and you'd be a mystic to them. That's the way it is to all believers. They're a mystics. The people don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. The disciples couldn't even understand him. When he spoke to them, they say this, and then they said, why are you talking riddles? We don't understand this. How can this be? See, they wasn't in the world that he lived in, see? They couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand him until they got the same Spirit that he lived by. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. Again, from Perfect Faith, paragraph 38, Brother Brown said, Jesus had perfect faith. He had it, and it come because he was the Word. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word. If you abide in me and my words in you, my words, which this word abides in you, then ask what you will and it'll be done for you. See? And if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe in what you have said, then you shall have what you have said. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. It'll be given to you. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. It's already over with. Solomon even said in Ecclesiastes 3:15, that which hath been, past tense, is now, present tense. And that which is to be, future tense, hath already been, past tense. And God requires that which is past. Now, why does God require that which is past? Because that which is past was in him, in his own thinking. In the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And he requires it to come to pass as he thought it before the foundation of the world. Now, listen, brother and sister, just tap into the mind of God, which is the Word and the will of God. And you will also know what is to be for you, which has already been ordained for you. You understand? All you got to do is open your Bible. There's going to be a bride that's conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Who's that for? Well, I'm claiming it for me. I hope you're claiming it for you. There's to be sons of God that will manifest as sons of God. Who's that for? I believe that's for me. You got to believe it for yourself. There's going to be an adoption of sons. There's going to be a rapture of the church, of the bride. Who's that for? It's for those who believe. It's for them. Hallelujah. That is why Brother Branham in Perfect Faith, number 35, he said, now this same Bible is the same God. And I'm not talking about wishful thinking. I'm talking about God's Word already said it. He ordained it. Before the foundation of the world, we were in Him. Before the foundation of the world, He ordained us to the adoption of children. Before, 2,000 years ago, he said he's going to come with a shout, a voice of trumpet. Has he come? Has the shout, the message gone forth? Have you received the message? Then receive ye the resurrection. How do I do that? By letting the one who is the resurrection in you. Hallelujah. Because when that's done, it's over. It's over. From Perfect Faith 35, he said, now the same Bible is the same God's Word. And when you can receive the substance, that's perfect faith. Substance that this promise that God made is yours. How do you feel, Brother Brown? When you stand there and you see people coming in different languages and things, are you afraid? No, no, sir. No, sir. He said, I've never been afraid yet because he told me so. And I believe that that is the truth. If he told me tonight to go to the presidential graveyard and raise up George Washington tomorrow morning, I'd invite the whole world. Come and see it done. I say, get every critic that you can and stand them around. You're going to see the glory of God. Set a chair over here where you can sit down and rest a little while. He will be here just in a moment as soon as I call. Hallelujah. Why? Because he believed. He's a believer. From Perfect Faith, he said, if you had a cancer and the doctor told you yesterday that you'd be dead before Monday morning, all of your heart, your respiration's gone, the cancer's eaten you up, your bloodstream's become completely cancerous, whatever it is, and something comes with this substance, this genuine faith, perfect faith, was made a substance in you, you'd laugh in the doctor's face. You'd be like old Elijah when he walked up and down before the idol and he said, "Why don't you call a little louder? Maybe he's pursuing." He knew what he was going to do because God had told him what he was going to happen. He said, let the God that answers by fire be God. They said, "We'll take that proposition." And they poured water upon the altars and they cut themselves and they done everything and called out, oh Baal, answer us." But he saw. God already showed him what was going to happen. Now just start reading your Bibles, brothers and sisters. And your faith will change because you're hearing from the very mind of God. For perfect faith, paragraph 32, Brother Brown said, now we see, he knew who he was. Do you know who you are? Do you know that you're a son of God? Or are you just hoping so? I know so. Do you know so? Amen. Do you know so? Do you know so, Don? Michael, do you know so?
Amen.
Nick? Josh, Derek, Amen. Do you know so, brother? You're a son of God? Amen. Then why let the devil push you around and say, well, maybe that word's not for you? If it's spoken by your Father, it's for you. Now see, he knew who he was. Therefore, he had faith. Faith could produce when he knowed what he was. And now, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you know who you are. Amen. Ask what you will, it'll be given you. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight if everybody come in that prayer line and say, I'm a Christian. I have no condemnation. I know that my heart condemns me not. Something tells me that tonight's the end of my suffering. You're going away from here with something. No matter how much you come in emotion, how much you do, it won't work until that perfect faith has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. When it's there, there's nothing going to shake it from you. Again, we read from Perfect Faith 28. Now, the only thing that you have to do then is have faith in what you are. Have faith in what the Word says you are. We all believe there's going to be a rapture. We all believe there's going to be a people that are conformed to the image of the firstborn son. We all believe those people are the elect. Do you believe you're the elect? Then have faith in who you are. Have faith in who you are. You have Sister Patty. And Jesus had faith in the Word of God that said what he was. He said, it is written of me. Okay? Jesus said, it's written of me. He had faith in that. William Branham said, it's written of me, Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7. What's written of you, Brother John? What's written of you? Well, I'm going to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. I'm going to manifest as the Son of God. I'm ordained to come to the full adoption. I'm ordained for the shout, the voice, the trump, the full rapture. Not part of the rapture, the full rapture. Because I'm part of it. I'm already in. I'm already partaking. Hallelujah. He said, I am the bread of life that come down from out of heaven. Amen. I am the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. I am these things. I am that I am. And he knew with that a perfect faith that he was the anointed Messiah, that the Spirit of God was upon him. He said, now I myself do nothing, but it's my Father, it's my faith in God. And God was in him. The Word made manifest, and when the Word of God comes in you, it's made manifest. For you are a believer, see? And a believer is the faith of God that moves in you. You like that? I like it when I like teaching what faith really is. Again, from paragraph 22, Brother Rand said, now, see, at first the disciples didn't have this perfect faith. They didn't have it because they had Christ. They're walking with him. Now listen to this. You think the people back in Jeffersonville had perfect faith? No. They were walking with the prophet who did. They saw it in him. It was good enough for them. The disciples were walking with Jesus. It was good enough for them. He's got it. But until they received the same spirit that was in him, They didn't have it. They saw one who did have it, just like today. They didn't have it because they'd had Christ walking with him, but then afterwards Christ was in them. And so you see, it's hard then to have this perfect faith without the Holy Spirit. It has to bring it. It does. Now, you say the disciples didn't have perfect faith. No, for they had an epileptic child there that they were trying to cast this devil out of him, and they couldn't do it. And the father seen Jesus coming, and he said, "We have brought my son to your disciples," and they couldn't cure him. See? And afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus, saying, "Why could we not cure him?" And Jesus said, "Because of a lack of faith, of your unbelief." That's right. Because of your unbelief. Again, from paragraph 20, he says, "Now faith is substance, and by it we understand all those things are done. It's not an imagination, it is a substance, especially perfect faith." That's what I'm talking on tonight, getting to perfect faith. It's not an imagination. No others have. Now, people come and say, "Oh, I got all faith." Oh, sure I have. Well, what are you standing here then for? See, your very actions prove that you haven't got what you're talking about for. See, if you had faith, then what are you standing in the prayer line for? See, what do you do these things for? See, if you had perfect faith, you'd look right straight to God and believe it and walk away. You would have no need of coming into a prayer line. You'd have no need of these things because your faith has done made it so. See, what would be the use for me saying, "I got to put on a shirt. I already got a shirt on." How do you know you got a shirt on? Well, I see it. I feel it. And I know it's there. Well, that's just how real that when perfect faith takes a hold. You don't need no more. It's already done. You know it. How do you know it? Faith tells me so. That's it. See? Do you get it now? You see what I mean? That's perfect faith. Again, from paragraph 17, he says, "Now, if you see somebody else do something by a word or an act of God or a promise of God, and many of them say, 'Well, I can do that too.' Well, that's an imagination. And when they do, they find themselves wrecked up out there somewhere. It's got to be a substance. Now, that is potentially a faith. That is something that would bring you to a faith. It's potentially like if you'd ask me for an oak tree and I give you an acorn, potentially you have an oak tree, but it hasn't produced itself yet. But when it really brings itself out, it is an oak tree. And when you imagine that God does this, but when it's revealed to you, and it's a faith then, a perfect faith, that cannot fail. That's the reason those visions are so tremendous to me, because it's been proved right every time, see? And I know that he promised that, and he promised it in his word, and here he comes, and he promised it for this day, and therefore you know where you're standing when he says so. See, that gives me faith, because he never does nothing contrary to his word, see? And if it was contrary to the word, I couldn't have faith in it. Bring it right back again to the word. See, faith in hearing the word of God. You must hear the word. God's word is that all-sufficient word. It's all you have need of is this word. Now, why did he then say, "Well, you know, those visions really helped me"? But he also said, "I have to take every vision back to the word. And if that vision is contrary to the word, then I know it's not from God." Brother, sister, you don't have to have the visions. All you have to do is have this word. If you know that this word is your pattern, and you see something in your life that's following, you see the pattern, you say, "Oh, that reminds me of when Jesus was over in this place doing this thing." And the Holy Spirit says, "It's yours. That's good enough. Step into it. Believe it with all your heart. And watch God bring it to pass." Brother Branham said, there's three ways you know that something is the will of God. First of all, you see it in the Word. Secondly, it's convicted or it's quickened in your spirit. He said, thirdly, you'll see the thing coming to pass. And what's coming to pass, and just step into it, brother, sister. Because we're talking about rapturing faith. Perfect faith. He said, it brings it right back to the word again. Faith in hearing the word of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, in Galatians 3:2, he said, "This only what I have learned of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law." In other words, did you receive the Holy Ghost by doing something? By some work that you did? Or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Then it is not what you can do, but just what you have surrendered yourself to. Then do you think rapturing faith is going to be any different? Rapturing faith, and we're going to talk about that this evening. And I think you're going to go away and be very enlightened. Rapturing faith, brother and sister, is not something that you can do, that you can work yourself up to. Rapturing faith is just simply believing God what He said would take place and that it's for you. That's it. From anointed ones at the end time, brother Anderson, now I want you to know this is sure. And you that are listening to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. But I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, because I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. Because I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when He appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when He does it. It was only a voice that He used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to. And He spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, His message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel is not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his word would fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And if you have surrendered yourself to the message that God brought down when He personally came down with a shout, then you're no different. It's not what you know. It's what you surrendered yourself to. You're not the one who descended with a shout. You, like Brother Branham, are only standing there when He appeared. Understanding faith and perfect faith is really so simple, as we hear Brother Branham tell us in his sermon, Perfect Faith, paragraph 13. He said, now we want to speak now upon faith and a different type of faith, perfect faith. That's a great thing. Now faith, we're told in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. Now you cannot be saved without faith. And faith is something that you have done to believe it's there. That's really, nothing else will declare it, it's there, but faith. Now I'm trying to bring you to bring faith to you so that you can be ready for this prayer line in the next few minutes. Now faith, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and it's impossible to please God without faith. You cannot please Him. And if you say that you believe God, you have never seen Him, see? So then you've got to believe it by faith. And if you could see Him, it could be no more faith. See? Anything that the senses declare, see, is no more faith. It's a scientific fact, see? It's not no more faith. But you have to accept Him by faith. Brother Derek, do you believe that the Holy Spirit justified you? Steve, do you believe He sanctified you? Brother Don, do you believe He filled me with the Holy Ghost? Did you justify yourself? Did you justify yourself? Did you fill yourself? Who did it? God did it. He that began the good work in you shall do what? Shall finish it, shall complete it. It's not about you, it's about Him. Amen. Perfect faith and a perfect word. Either He said it or He didn't say it. If He didn't say it, then just leave it alone. If He said it, then it's perfect and it's complete. From wisdom versus faith, Brother Branham said, a Levite was, now nothing but a Levite was supposed to touch the ark. And here the ark was coming right back for a revival. And one outside of that tried to handle the word. That goes to show that only the anointed of God is to touch that word. These creeds and denominations got no business tampering with it. Just the Holy Spirit has got a right to that word. And it's death for any other to touch it. And that is why it takes having the Holy Spirit for you to understand the word. And to believe it and to receive it. That is why the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 2 that unless you have the Holy Spirit, you will never understand the things of God. It will be foolishness to you. And that is why we have so many false doctrines floating around among us, among those who claim to believe this message, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. For if they had the Holy Spirit, they would understand the things of God and they wouldn't chase off after false teaching. And Brother Brown continues. He says, "For to believe any of it or teach it, the same will be taken his part out of the book of life." See, don't put your hands on it. Stay away from it. Listen, believe just what it said. Don't take nobody else's word. Take what it says. Stay right with the word. It's death to do anything else to it. Now, what does faith do? It believes it just the way it is. That's the way God has preserved it down through the ages, and here it is. It's the Word of God for me. God honors that. It gives a perfect faith in its truths. In other words, when you revert to your own understanding concerning the Word of God, or what it says, then you have bypassed the Holy Spirit, and you are now without the Holy Spirit trying to understand the things of God. And Paul said the natural man cannot understand the things of God. It's impossible for him to know them. From his sermon, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branham said, when the disciple was given power to heal the sick, 10 days later, we find them defeated on an epileptic. And I'd imagine Peter saying, now wait, I'll show you how I done it, down at Capernaum. And the other one saying, well, I'll show you how I did it. And none of them could make this demon leave the child. But when Jesus came and the Father went to see Jesus, he said, I brought him to your disciples, and they could do nothing for him. And I brought him to you. And he said, I can, if you believe, for all things are possible to them that believe. And the child went into the hardest fit it ever had, because that devil knew that he'd met faith on a different level than what the apostles had. He'd met a perfect faith. That's what we must have, perfect faith to make the perfect word of God perform perfectly. That's it. We must believe it without a shadow of a doubt. When I was there in Uganda, and the Holy Spirit told me when the big storm was going, the Holy Spirit and I was going to sit down, he said, what are you sitting for? Rebuked me. And I said, and he said, did not I send you? And I said, yes, Lord, you sent me. He said, then what are you sitting for? Take charge of the meeting. Now, I had no clue how to take charge of the meeting, but you know what? Jesus did. And I'd been preaching on Jesus being the pattern for every son, and how William Branham was an older brother, but Jesus was the eldest brother. And something showed me, just like a mental vision, Jesus was asleep in the boat. The waves came, the storm came, and Jesus sat up and said, peace, be still. Then by the time I took my second step, I saw another mental vision of Brother Branham running around the tree, because the storm had obeyed his voice. Now, he told me, take charge of the meeting. I had an example of the eldest brother. I had an example of an older brother. So what did I do? I did the same thing they did. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And I simply went to the thing and he said, take charge of the meeting. Now, how in the world do you take charge of a storm? But I went to the meeting, I did exactly what I saw a vindicated prophet do. I said, I take charge of every spirit in here for the glory of God. And I said, Satan, I know that you're prince and power of the air. I acknowledge that. You're doing a good job of it. But your stinger was pulled out on Calvary. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to stop. And it stopped. I was seeing this time and time and time again. It's not because I have some great power. It's simply because maybe I'm simple enough. I'm simple-minded enough to believe what God has already showed us as a pattern in the Bible. Like Martin, who when one of his catechumens had died, and they were actually carrying him to the grave site, he stopped the procession, because he was out of town when it happened. He sent him back in. He laid his hands on his hands, his mouth on his mouth. And he breathed in him the breath of life. And you know what? The same thing God did for Elijah and Elisha and Jesus is the same thing he did for Mark. Columba did the same thing. They found the pattern and they stepped into the pattern. And God is obligated to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why do you think Jesus told everybody to go out of the room? Can you imagine the scandal that they would have said and the unbelief that would have come up in the room if they would have seen him put his mouth on the child's mouth and his hands on the child's hands. Or Elijah, for that case, sent him out of the room, put his mouth on the child's mouth, his hands on the child's hands. And Elisha doing the same thing. And Martin did the same thing. Can you imagine? The unbelief from the unbeliever saying, "What is this guy?" And they'd have all kinds of names to call him. Remember, Jesus couldn't do mighty miracles because of their unbelief when he went to Nazareth. So, what does the Bible say? He resorted to teaching doctrine. You teach doctrine when the faith in the people is gone, to try to bring the faith back to the people. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Benson, now lay your hands on, here on one another. Come, ye saints of faith, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Your commission, friends, as a believer, to lay your hands on the sick. God's commission to see that God's promise is to see that they recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. I've had email after email of brothers overseas, African pastors, who the people in the village had a child that died. And they bring it to the man of God. And the man of God took that child in their arms and they said, "Lord, I don't know what to do, but simply I'm doing what you've shown us before." And they laid their hands on that child and they prayed, and God resurrected that baby, brought that baby back to life. Now, I know of three instances, one in Mongolia and two in Africa, where this is taking place among believers in this message. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From Abraham's seed, he said, "See, God made him an eagle, and he gave him two wings to get away from danger. And he had perfect faith in those two God-given wings." And I thought, what if the church had that much faith in the two wings that God gave them, the New and the Old Testament? How we could fly away from trouble, fly away from sickness, fly away from sorrow, and get away with it. Do we have faith in the promises that God has given to us in the South? I'm going to show you this afternoon. The very purpose of His presence is to make sure that those promises are fulfilled. It's not you, John, working yourself into it. He's here to do it. And He is doing it. For hear ye him, he said, now look at Peter down there. He said, now they said, "Why do men say I the Son of Man am?" Or who do men say that I the Son of Man am? Some said, "Well, you're John the Baptist." Others said that you're Elijah. And some said you're prophet Jeremiah. And others say, "Well, you're a prophet was to come." But Jesus answered and said, "Who do you say that I am?" See, salvation is not based upon what someone else thinks. It's what you think of it. Divine healing is based on what the critics say. Divine healing isn't based on what the critics say or what the church says. It's based on your perfect faith in the inspired Word of God and how you're inspired to believe that. That's what brings the results, see, is your inspiration by the Word. What does it do for you? Who does men say I, the Son of Man, am? And he says, some Jeremiah, some the prophets, but who do you say that I am? Steve, were you saved because somebody else got saved? Thought it was a good idea, maybe you'll do the same. Don, you received the Holy Ghost because somebody else got it? And you had confidence that they got it? See, this is the problem where people sit under a teacher or a minister and they identify with the man, but not to the point of identifying with Christ. And they get the spirit of the man instead of the spirit of Christ. That about says it all. It's not what someone else has told you about this message. It's what you believe God has said about it. Lee Vail did not come down with a shout. Neither did William Branham. God came down with a shout. It's God's message. It's what God said. You won't receive rapture in faith based on what Brother Vail or what Brother Branham said about the message. You will receive rapturing faith based on what you say about it. Either it's God's word or it's not. Either God himself came down with a shout, which is the message, or he didn't. From Abraham, Brother Branham said, now, when he went out to the pool of Bethesda, there lay thousands of people, lame, twisted, and halt and blind. He walked among them till he found a man laying on a pallet. He made him well and left the rest of them. St. John 5, in the 19th verse, he was being questioned about that. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. If you walk in the light, why? Because he's in the light. You're walking with him. When he's ready to bring you out in a rapture, you'll be walking with him. And you'll just keep walking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. Christ had perfect faith in God. For Jesus is the body and God was in him. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Again, from his sermon, Expectancy, Brother answered, faith knows no defeat. Faith is perfect. Faith brings things when there is no things to be brought. Faith creates. Faith takes doubt away, takes negative and makes positive. Listen, a brother named Brother F.F. Bosworth prayed for people to receive eardrums that had no eardrums, and God created eardrums. Brother Branham prayed for people that had no eyeballs, and God created eyeballs. Faith creates. Faith can create an atmosphere. It can change things. Faith creates. Faith takes doubt away, takes negative and makes positive. Right, Michael? Yeah. Amen. Faith is not mythical, something mentally worked up. It's as an absolutely fundamental result that happens in a person's heart. When faith is appropriated, then it is something in the person's heart. But it can't be based on, well, go touch a tree and you'll get up, or go pray to the post. It's got to have a foundation, and that foundation is the Word. Heavens and earth will pass away, but not one word will fail. And perfect faith can only come by a perfect word. For the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:10, for that, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now listen, faith was not perfect until that which is perfect has come. People had faith. They had faith for healing and some things. But in this hour, there's a perfect faith by a perfect word that can create eyeballs, create squirrels. And God probably told us that perfect thing is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. In questions and answers, he said, 1 Corinthians 13 says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues and all these other things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication, then that which is in part is done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And then in paragraph 82 of the same questions and answers, someone asked Brother Brown the question, please explain 1 Corinthians 13:8-12. Now that the perfect word is restored to the church, are these verses fulfilled? And Brother Brown answers, now I think I just went through that, didn't I? And when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I do all these things here, but when that which is perfect is come, now is there anything perfect but God? No, sir. Is God perfect? In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is still God. See, all right. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is done away. Therefore, as we began by showing you, that Brother Brown taught us that we will receive a perfect faith by a perfect word, and we have that perfect word, brethren, for God, who is perfect, has come down in perfection and has given us a perfect shout, which is a perfect word, perfect message, and that is all that we need to bring us to the voice of the resurrection. Therefore, we must enter into this perfect word and receive our perfect faith. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your word. We know that it is perfect. Help us, O God, to have perfect faith, to believe it just the way that you say it. For you interpret your word by bringing it to pass. So help us, Lord, to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. And that our our faith might become perfect as we lay in the presence of a perfect word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face shine upon you.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee.